In Romans 1:16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. We're in a series, What Would Jesus Say to Certain Celebrities? And last week we looked at what would Jesus say to Donald Trump. And today we're going to be looking at what would Jesus say to Kim Kardashian. And so if you found your outline, you have the scripture. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1, the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near a plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And then we skip down to verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then in verse 28, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look and think about what would Jesus say to these celebrities, may we realize that he would say the same thing to each of us. God, may you speak to us through your word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, we live in a celebrity cult world. People are fascinated in our world today by celebrities, and social media has magnified that 100-fold. Now, it's not my intention as we look at these certain celebrities to bash them or condemn them or to criticize them. It's God's job to judge, not mine. But I would say to you that celebrities, in whatever culture it is, these people are well known and their life is celebrated because the culture celebrates that kind of life. And so when we look at these people, it is a reflection of the world that we live in. And so today we're going to be looking at John chapter 4, but we're going to be using Kim Kardashian as an example to shed light on what God says in John chapter 4. Well, some of you may be saying, "All right, who is this person you're talking about?" Well, in 2015, she was the most Googled person in the world. And then in 2016, we had a presidential election, and Donald Trump became the number one Googled person in the world, and he has stayed number one in 2017 and 2018. But what I want you to know is 3 years later, even after Donald Trump, Kim Kardashian is the third most Googled person in the world. Her husband is the sixth most Googled person in the world, and her brother is the seventh most Googled person in the world. These people are all about being in the spotlight. So as we think about this particular celebrity today, there is a one-word description that I would give you of Kim Kardashian. And that one word is famous. She is famous. Let me tell you how I know that. She has over 100 million followers on Instagram. She has 63 million followers on Twitter, more than Donald Trump. And by the way, she tweets more than Donald Trump. And then she has 55 million followers on Facebook. Now, some of these people are the same people, but if you add it all up, Kim Kardashian on social media has 218 million people following her. She is famous, to say the least. All right, but let's do a timeout, and I'm going to ask, what is Kim Kardashian famous for? She can't sing, she can't dance, she can't act, she's not athletic, she's not real smart. So what is she famous for? Kim Kardashian is famous for being famous. Huh? What does that even mean? That means she is famous for nothing. Now, Kim Kardashian grew up in a privileged home in Beverly Hills. Her dad, Robert Kardashian, is one of the famous lawyers who represented O.J. Simpson in the trial of the century. So she grew up with a silver spoon in her mouth, privilege in Beverly Hills. But her famous dad told her when she turned 18 years of age, you can no longer live off the family dime. You got to make it on your own. All right, so if you can't sing, you can't dance, you can't act, you're not athletic, you don't have a prestigious degree, what do? To keep up that lifestyle? Well, she became the stylist, the hairstylist for Paris Hilton. And she started hanging out with her, and then she got a date with Jessica Simpson's ex. And the paparazzi lit it up about who is this curvaceous woman with Jessica Simpson's ex. And then the next thing you know, there is a sex tape that has been leaked to the public via the internet. I told you she is famous for nothing, okay? That particular sex tape brought her world-famous attention. She sued the people who published it and settled for $5 million. And because she was now famous, they offered her a reality TV show called Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is now in its 10th season. I confess, I have watched it zero times. Zero times. But again, she goes on to become even more famous. She marries NBA basketball player Chris Humphreys, and 10 million people watch her wedding. And 72 hours, just 3 days later, they're busted up, separated, and divorced in 3 days. And then she starts dating rapper. I had to ask somebody how to pronounce his name. And I was told it was pronounced Kanye. Kanye. Well, they didn't know him any more than I know him, do they? Kanye. Kanye West, who has won 28 Grammy Awards. And she goes out on Twitter and says, "Hey, Kanye and I are having a baby." And then she eventually marries the guy. Kim Kardashian is famous for being famous. Don't laugh too hard. Because what I'm about to tell you next is very sad. The number one value, according to a UCLA study published in the Journal of Psychology, the number one value for teens today is fame. 10 years ago, it was number 15 on the list. Today, young people, more than getting a good education, more than making a lot of money, more than changing the world, more than making a positive contribution to society, more than having a wonderful family, the number one value that teenagers in America have today is fame. Remember when I said earlier that these celebrities are only a reflection of our society? Think about that, folks. What is our world going to look like in 20 years from now when these tweens and teenagers are middle-aged and the number one value that they have in life is to be famous? Not to change the world, not to make the world a better place, not to have a great home, not to have a great family, not to have a career, but their number one value is to be famous. Now, before we go much farther, let me clarify something. Every single one of us in this room here today has an inborn need to be recognized and to be valued. To be recognized and to be valued. I'm telling you, a lot of the craziness that we're seeing in our world today is because people are growing up in an environment where they're not recognized and they're not valued for who they're being, who they are. And so people go out and they do wild, stupid, crazy, evil, terrible things because it brings them attention and recognition. Do you understand that a child would rather have bad attention from you than no attention from you? And so what is this thing where people are craving fame? I believe it really goes back to the home, and it really comes back to the busy, busy society we live in today, that children are growing up and they're not feeling noticed and valued. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. You've probably had this to happen in your life, just a different person, maybe different words. But not long ago, my grandson was at my house, and he was up on the deck, and he was running around, and I was trying to keep up with him. And he would say, "Watch me, Paul, watch me. Look at me, Paul, look at me." And you see, as a child, if you're not noticed and you're not valued and you're not recognized, you grow up with a certain level of insecurity and you go throughout your whole life trying to fill this void of look at me, recognize me, see me. And Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and all this social media is a millennial generation crying out, "See me." And so you see, Kim Kardashian is just a symptom of a bigger problem that we have in our society. Well, if Jesus were here today, what would he say to her? Well, preacher, how do you know what he would say to her? Well, he met somebody just like her, and we know what he said to her. Okay? So let's look here. Number one, I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, fame will not satisfy the longing you have in your heart. In verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." You see, I really believe until you recognize that the God of heaven sees you, the God of heaven values you, the God of heaven wants to have fellowship with you, you're not going to have the security that you really need in life. And that insecurity is going to cause a hunger and a dissatisfaction in your soul so that you go your whole life, see me, value me, recognize me. According to Psychology Today, well, before I tell you that, no elbows, no pointing. How many of you know a drama queen? How many of you know a drama king? According to Psychology Today, people that are overdramatic, they have drama around them all the time, okay? They do that for a reason. Did you know that when you have drama in your life, that your pituitary gland releases endorphins? Endorphins is a chemical that goes to your brain and makes you feel good. As a matter of fact, opioids and heroin produce the same feel-good feeling that endorphins do. And according to the Journal of Psychology, drama queens and kings are addicted to the feeling they get when there's drama and people pay attention to them. All right, so do you understand what that means? You're starving for attention. You do anything you can to get attention. You get that attention. It makes you feel good. So what do? You're going to do something else so that you can get some more attention so you can feel good. Drama addiction. That's a new one. I've never heard of that before. But when I look at Kim Kardashian, I say, that makes sense. This is what's wrong with our society today. Notice here, though, that Jesus can satisfy the heart's longing. In verse 14, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is here. It's in the middle of the day. It's hot. Folks, let me tell you, over in the Middle East, in the middle of the day, it gets hot. I was in Jericho. Last time I was in the Holy Land, it was 109 degrees when we're at Jericho. It gets hot. It's in the middle of the day. Jesus is hot. He's at a well. What kind of water do you get out of a well? It's standing water. But Jesus said, I give living water. That word there, living water, means rolling, running, bubbling. It's the idea of a mountain stream running down the mountain. And it's as fresh and refreshing as it can get. And what Jesus was saying to this woman is, you want to be valued. You want to be noticed. God can give you the satisfaction of your soul. You can be noticed and seen and valued by the God of the universe. Jesus can satisfy the longing of your heart. And then secondly, notice, it is free for the asking. You know what Jesus gave? If you could give everything you owned, it would be worth what you get. But it's free. Notice here, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. This woman saw the value in what Jesus was offering. She said, I want this satisfying living water. And she received God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's love and God's peace and God's joy. And it satisfied the longing of her heart. Secondly, I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, glorify God. Glorify God, not yourself. The prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 2 said, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Oh, Lord, renew them in our day. Amen. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, lift me up. Lift God up, don't lift up yourself. By the way, let me just take back what I said a little bit earlier. Kim Kardashian does have one accomplishment. She made the New York Times bestseller list. You know, she is a published author, Dr. Bob. She is. What was her book? It contained 350 or maybe 360 selfies of Kim Kardashian. And that will get you on the New York Times bestseller list. I don't know that it had any words in it, just selfies. Selfies of her. You know, we live in a world today that is consumed with this. You don't believe it? Just look on social media. Oh, preacher, you're getting a little personal now, huh? How many selfies are on your social media page? And when you see somebody and they got all these selfies on their social media page, see me, notice me, value me, like me, follow me. You know, it'd be dangerous to be over-consumed with yourself. I live over here near Crowder's Mountain State Park. And in 2015, there was a woman over there with her family, and she's up there enjoying the scenery, doing a selfie, loses her footing, falls off the mountain, and dies taking a selfie. Taking a selfie. Glorify God. Notice here, if you lift up Jesus, it will touch others. In John chapter 12, verse 32, but when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. You see, if I draw attention to me, if Kim Kardashian draws attention to herself, that doesn't help anybody. But if we draw people's attention to Jesus Christ, if we lift up Jesus Christ, if we lift up his sacrifice on the cross, it will draw everybody around the world to God's love and God's care. Kim, glorify God. Next, notice if you lift up Jesus, he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. You see, I can lift me up or I can lift up Jesus. Now here's what will happen. If I lift up Jesus, Jesus will lift me up. And let me tell you what I found out. Jesus is a better lifter than I am. You see, I can go over here and I can toot my own horn, or I can toot Jesus' horn and let him toot my horn. And can I tell you, Jesus is a better tooter than I am, okay? Kim Kardashian's famous for being famous. She's famous because of who she hung around with. She hung around with famous people like Paris Hilton and Jessica Simpson and what was the guy's name? Ray J. Or was it J. Ray? Ray J? Anyhow, Ray J. Chris Humphries. Kanye West. She's famous for hanging out with famous people. But I would say to Kim Kardashian, listen, you can hang out with the creator of the universe. You can hang out with the King of Kings. You can hang out with the Savior of the world. And if you'll lift up Jesus, he will exalt you in due time. And then thirdly, self-promotion is only temporary. It's only temporary. In Matthew 26, we have the story of Mary of Bethany anointing Jesus with oil. In verse 13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about what Mary did for Jesus. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, how fame is just temporary. Lifting yourself up is just temporary. We're going to have a little pop quiz here. One question. Yes or no answer. How many of you know who Sonya Henie is? If you know who Sonya Henie is, raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Four people. Wow. I'm impressed. Sonya Henie won a gold medal at the Olympics when she was 15 years old. 4 years later, she won a gold medal again. 4 years later, she won the gold medal again. And because she was famous, she became an actress. And she was one of the leading actresses in the 30s and the 40s. And in 1969, when she died, according to Forbes magazine, she was one of the 10 richest women in the world. And yet this morning, only four of us have ever heard of her. Do you understand self-promotion is only temporary? And yet here was a woman who anointed Jesus' feet, and 2,000 years later, we're still talking about her. You see, when you make it all about you, it's only going to be a short while. When you make it all about Jesus, it's going to last forever and ever and ever. Number three, I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, I value your vulnerability. I value your openness and honesty. Notice here in verse 16 when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband. By the way, when she talked, this is the shortest thing she had to say. I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, you know what, I appreciate, I value the fact that you're honest, that you don't try to gloss over your faults and your wrongs, that you own up to them. You see, if you will confess your faults and your wrongs and your shortcomings, then Jesus can help you. But as long as you're self-righteous and you don't think you need God's help, God can't help you. Now, why would I say that she was vulnerable? Here's what she her words in an interview. It definitely puts you in a category that I would wish on no one. Your reputation is all you have. And if people prejudge you over something you did, well, that kind of sticks with you big time. What was she talking about? She was talking about the leaked sex tape. Folks are still talking about it 12 years later. You see, there's sometimes when you mess up, you just can't gloss over it. You, all of your fame and all of your money can't correct it. You understand that Kim Kardashian is paid anywhere from $25,000 to $75,000 every time she makes a post on Instagram because of the advertising dollars. Well, man, wouldn't that be great? I'd just take out my phone, take a picture of me. I'd take a picture of you, and I'm preaching today. Boom! $75,000. Woo, man, that felt so good. I think I'll come over here and take a picture of this side. You see how that works? But with all of her fame and with all of her money and with all of that going on in her life, she still has this thing hanging over her head. But instead of trying to cover it up, instead of trying to spin it, instead of trying to deny it, she just what? She just owned up to it. The woman at the well just owned up to it. Sir, I don't have a husband. I don't have a husband. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I run into this all the time. People say, oh, this is my husband, this is her wife, and then you come to find out, well, you know, they've been shacking up for 17 years. They're not married. They just say that because they're covering it up. It's trying to look good in the public eye. Notice here, Jesus gives us an example of this in Luke 18. But the tax collector, by the way, they were considered the lowest of the low in that day. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here was the self-righteous Pharisee that was an upstanding pillar in the community. Here was a tax collector that everybody despised. And yet Jesus said the tax collector who humbled himself and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, went home forgiven and blessed of God. And the self-righteous upstanding citizen went away condemned. I think he would say to Kim Kardashian, I value your vulnerability. And that brings me to the next thing I want to say, and that is God sees and knows all. God sees everything you do. He knows everything about you. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. God sees it all. God knows it all. Now let me tell you what I love about that is He sees it all, He knows it all, and He loves you in spite of all He's seen and all He knows. Kim, you don't have to go out here and do all these antics for God to notice. God already notices you. God created you. God loves you. God wants to have fellowship with you. I know you've messed up. I've seen it all. But you know, there's so many people and they think they're so smart and they think they're sinning and they think they're getting by with it. Did you see recently the guy, the Golden State killer, was arrested? He has eluded discovery. That is, they didn't know who he was. For 4 decades, for 40 years, he has gotten by. And he is suspected of numerous, hundreds and hundreds of home invasions, robberies, at least 50 different rapes and 12 murders. And a couple of weeks ago, he was arrested. Now, how did he get by for so long? Well, they said he was a veteran of the United States Navy, and a lot of this stuff he learned in the military. And then when he got out of the military, guess what? He became a police officer. So he knew how they gathered, how they collected evidence. He knew how the system worked. And so he thought, I am smarter than the system. I am smarter than they are. I will get by with it. And the more he got by with it, the more emboldened he was. But guess what? DNA revealed who he is, and he's now behind bars. You're not smarter than God. I don't care how smart you are. He sees and he knows everything that's going on in your life. And you can either be honest with God or you can try to cover it up. The only person you'll fool is you, not him. And then on the back of your outline, notice here, God uses divine appointments. I love verse 4. And he, that is Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Actually, if you'll show the map, my little laser pointer won't work, so you're just going to have to imagine with me, okay? On the map down here at the bottom is Judea. That's where Jesus was. You see that? That's kind of the green-teal area. He's going to go up to the orange part up at the top up there at Galilee. It's where he's going to go. But to get there, notice there's something in between Samaria. Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. So the Orthodox Jew would go through Perea and the Decapolis and go to Galilee. They'd make it a 3-day journey instead of a 1-day journey because they despised the Samaritans so much. But notice here, the Bible says that Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why is that? He knew that in the middle of the day, there was going to be a famous woman at the well, and he had an appointment with her. I must needs go. There is a divine appointment there in Samaria. Look here in verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired out by the journey, and he sat down by the well, and it was noon. All right, if it's 109, 110 degrees out there, why would you go pick up water in a jug and put it on your head and carry it all the way back to the village? This woman came because she knew it was hot. She knew nobody would be there. She wouldn't have to interact with the other women of the village. She wouldn't have to worry about them whispering and talking about her. She could go get her water and go back. She didn't expect anybody to be there, but Jesus was already there, and Jesus was waiting on her. Do you understand that today Jesus knew you'd be in this place? Jesus was here before you got here, and you have an appointment with God today. I believe in divine appointments. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, at an evangelism conference, evangelism training. At the end of the day, they sent us out into Atlanta to share the gospel. I was on a woman's team, And we had three names of people who had visited a church. We went out there and we visited all three of them. Nobody's at home. Okay, well, we give it a good college try. Let's go back to the church. This woman said, no, I'm not going back. We shared the gospel with somebody. We went to this apartment complex and we just went door to door, knocking on there. And 11 doors in a row, we said, hello, we're from Roswell Street Baptist Church. Boom, slammed the door in our face. I thought, this ain't good. This isn't good. We knocked on that 12th door, and when we did, the woman opened up, and we said, hi, we're from Roswell Street Baptist Church. She busted out crying, said, come in, come in. And we sat down and said, what are you crying about? She said, I'm so, so distraught. As a matter of fact, this morning I got up and I said, God, if there is a God, you need to send somebody to speak to me. And if nobody comes to speak to me, that means there must not be a God, that you didn't hear my prayer. And if there's not a God, there's no reason to live. We knocked on that door. She opened the door. We shared the gospel. She got saved. Let me tell you what that was. That was a divine appointment. I believe there's some folks right here today, and your paths are going to cross with Jesus in a moment, and God's got a divine appointment in your life. Number four. This is so important. I believe Jesus would say to Kim Kardashian, your past does not determine your future. Notice here, Jesus removed all of her shame. In John 4:29, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Here is a woman who went in the middle of the day, 110-degree weather, so she wouldn't have to meet anybody. And now she goes to the town and say, hey, everybody come here. Let me tell you about Jesus. He knew everything that I had ever done. He has washed me. He has cleansed me. She's now no longer ashamed of her past because Jesus has washed and cleansed her past and given her a brand new future. Did you know he knows all about your failures today? You know Jesus knows all about your mess. And let me tell you, some of you are a mess. The truth of it is we're all a mess. And God wants to take our mess and turn it into a message of his grace, his love, and his hope. And then next, notice, he used her fame to reach her community, to reach her community. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. God knows all there is to know about you, the good and the bad. And God says, I can even use the bad that is in your life to help people and to touch people for good. You say, preacher, you just don't know how bad I've messed up. I don't, but God does. And I know this, you're not any worse than the examples I'm about to give you, okay? You say, oh, God can't use me. Yes, he can. He used a guy by the name of Moses, who was a murderer. He used a guy by the name, a gal by, you not have that, Ashley? Moses. There we go. And then he used a gal by the name of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a harlot, and yet God used her. How about David, King David? He was an adulterer. God used him. How about Mary Magdalene? She was demon-possessed with seven devils, and Jesus used her. How about Paul? He was a persecutor of the church. He had Stephen stoned to death, and God used Paul. God can use you. No matter what your past is, it does not determine your future. You determine your future by what you will do with Jesus Christ. I have a picture up here next I want you to see. You might recognize these two. Last week we looked at Donald Trump. This week we're looking at Kim Kardashian. This is a picture of Kim Kardashian in the Oval Office with Donald Trump. What is this photo op all about? Kim Kardashian used her fame, and she's famous for what? Nothing. She's famous for being famous. She used her fame to get an audience with the President of the United States to plead the case for a woman she never met, Alice Marie Johnson. Alice Marie Johnson was a single mother with five children that got involved with drug trafficking. She was a one time convicted for drug trafficking, nonviolent, but was sentenced to life in prison without parole. President Donald Trump commuted this 63-year-old grandmother's sentence, and she is now a free woman because Kim Kardashian used her fame to get an audience with the president to plead this woman's case. Alice Marie Johnson, while she was in prison, gave her heart and her life to Jesus Christ. She has been a model prisoner for 21 years, and she expected to die in prison, life without parole. And after serving 21 years, the first year she got saved, she started serving God, and she was an ordained minister in the prison ministering to other prisoners. And Kim Kardashian pled her case, and President Trump commuted her sentence. Now let me point this out to you. She applied for a pardon three times under President Obama and was denied each time. Kim Kardashian used her fame to get an audience with the president, and now this woman is free. This woman was interviewed by CNN, and I've got what she said. This was on national news. Johnson opened up about what Kardashian West had meant to her in a recent essay for CNN. Some refer to prison as a place where hope dies. Some days I found that to be almost right. Each time that I have come close to giving up, God has restored my faith. So when the unlikely voices of Kim Kardashian West and Jared Kushner came together to shine a spotlight on my case, I could only thank God, for He works in mysterious ways. God used a woman at the well to bring her whole community to Jesus Christ. God can use a person like Kim Kardashian to have a woman who is in bondage and is going to die in bondage to be set free. God can use your mess. God can use my mess as a witness to help people to be set free from whatever binds them. Your past does not determine your future. Remember a while ago when I started off by saying every human being has an inborn need to be recognized, to be seen, and to be valued. I want you to know this morning that the God of this universe sees you. The God of this universe values you so much, He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who is here today, and you feel like that woman at the well, and that is, you've messed up. You've done some things you hope nobody knows about, but you know about it, and God knows about it. Would you come today and say, Lord, wash me and cleanse me. God, take away my shame. God, may my past not determine my future. I'm wondering who would come today and say, God, use my mess to tell your message. I'm wondering who would come today and say, God, take my past and make something beautiful in my future. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to say thank you for those divine appointments when our lives cross your path. Father, I believe that right now there's some people and their path is crossing your path. And I pray, God, that they might find the joy and the satisfaction and the meaning of life that you desire for each of them. Thank you, God, that you put our past in the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more, and you offer us a blessed hope for the future. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.